Russia, Ukraine. To navigate round pirates, you got to find the current. It travels within you. Lavishly lit, ever sent.
So we live in interesting times, you and I. Our current biocrisis is the accumulation of at least 10,000 years of abuse of a very interconnected and interdependent, as it turns out, living system, one that we all depend upon. It's like we've had a great orgiastic feast for the past 500 generations, and the bill has come due, and the whole place is totally trashed, and we can't cover the tab. So it struck me that this thought alone is enough to drive many people away from having a deep, meaningful relationship with nature, what some would call Gaia, and what others from all times have known as the Great Mother. It's hard not to feel that way when one knows and then feels that they are a part of a great slaughter of many innocent others that cohabitate this world with us. We feel as if we are taking part in a great misdeed, possibly the greatest of all sins. If not by our direct actions, then by our impotence in being able to halt this process. But I feel it is time to turn back to nature, and not a time to turn away if we hope to know what paths to take in the future and not become depressed or fooled by the very forces that have led to this sad situation. So I offer this first of what I hope to be several programs to share some of the knowledge and wisdom that I have found concerning our true place in this dance and where our future may lie.
Find the current, find the current, find the current. Stir into flame the gift that is you. Ride the current, ride the current, ride the current, as if your dreams have already come true. Stay in the current, stay in the current, stay in the current. Expand the love that created you. Find the current, ride the current, stay in the current. Within.
I want to know why we continue to destroy the habitat that supports us in every way. Why do we continue to pollute the atmosphere so that we can breathe in the toxins? I just want to know why that is. The body-mind is one. It's not an angel. It's a primate. And the primates that succeed in expanding their territory and their habitat leave more offspring, namely us. And the way Gaia works is Gaia is a stable system. And when organisms outgrow and destroy their habitat, they simply go extinct. And that's exactly the course that we are on.
Again, this goes back to what I was talking about earlier, our attitudes toward nature, our notion that we own nature, we can patent it, we can exploit it, we can destroy it, we're not part of it, you know, and we're perfectly within our rights to patent any damn thing we see out of nature and prohibit whatever else we don't like. And that's a dangerous attitude.
Everybody knows something's wrong with our world. Everybody knows something's wrong with our culture. And I'm quoting Einstein. And, you know, he said, we can't solve the problems facing us with the same kind of thinking we were doing when we caused them to begin with. So, I mean, it's really clear. And one of the things he was realizing is this reductive, sort of mechanicalistic, rational, controlling approach to the world was a real problem. And what most people don't get is when he says we have to use a different kind of thinking, what he means is we can't use linear reductionism. We have to use something else entirely. And the one thing that leads to a different kind of thinking is feeling. See, now, when in the whole reductive world of science, there's a belief that if you become unemotional, if you detach yourself from your feelings, then you're able to do, you know, you'll be like Data or Spock or somebody, and you'll be able to do, you know, you'll be like this computer that can just analyze data, and so you'll get uncorrupted information about the nature of reality. It doesn't really work that way. They've known it hasn't worked since the 1920s, okay? Nevertheless, they continue to do it, so which is actually the definition of being psychotic. You know something doesn't work, yet you continue to still do it. It's what crazy is, right? So part of what we're encountering now is the collapse of the old system, and the hysteria that goes along with people realizing things are out of control. But there's not a whole lot of work yet with what should replace it. Now, there is some, and there's more every year. There's way more now than there was 20 years ago. It turns out that when, you know, people have really examined it, the human species survived as well as they did because they were a cooperative species, not because they were innately competing with each other. So that is, I mean, it begins to turn the whole paradigm we've been trained in kind of on its head.
It's all alive. It's all connected. It's all intelligent. It's all relatives.
The design of the galaxy is in the soil. Patterns are there, all very near. Look down, wisdom abounds. Soil grows the seed, bursts the flower, courts the bee, makes the honey. Honey is free. Soil anchors tree, hosts the nest, cradles the bird, offers song. Song is free. Honey we relish, bird song we cherish, and soil we must revere. The design of the heavens quite near. Soil holds the seed, grows the plant, feeds the body, lifts the breath. Breath is free. Soil houses life, fuels the web, awakens heart, stirs the dance. Dance is free. Breath we do cherish, dancing we relish, and soil we must revere. The design of the galaxy is in the soil. Answers are here, abundantly clear. Get down, wisdom abounds. The design of the galaxy is in the soil. The design of the galaxy is in the soil. The patterns are there, all very near, abundantly clear. Look down, wisdom abounds.
When you start to look at the Earth as a living organism, a highly intelligent living organism, and you begin to understand that every organism on this planet is generated only for one reason. It helps somehow to maintain the homeodynamic balance of the system. And human beings are just a small part of a very large story that's been going on for 3.5 billion years. So, you know, you start to get a real different picture of the world than the one that we've been given. And my interest in it has been from the beginning, you know, from an early age, I had an experience of the livingness of the world, just like all four-year-old kids do. There's hardly a four-year-old kid in the world who doesn't believe in their experience, who doesn't have an experience of the world being alive, of flowers being alive, of trees being alive, of everything being alive, of puppies being the same as them. They just have a different body and a different kind of way of acting. That concept that everything's highly intelligent, I mean, it completely undercuts the sort of hierarchical hubris of the human species where, you know, we're all taught from an early age that we are, you know, the height of evolution and, you know, the crown of creation. We're the only really intelligent species. And there's this whole thing like, well, dolphins are pretty intelligent, you know, and chimpanzees, they're kind of intelligent too. I mean, bless their hearts, you know, they can do some stuff. And, you know, you just kind of go down this sort of evolutionary escalator or stairway till you get to, you know, like rocks or something, because they're really stupid. And that's a view that all of us have been trained in. You know, everybody in the West believes it, okay? And you see it mentioned in subtle ways in newspapers and programs everywhere all of the time. The thing is, it's just not true. It's not even remotely true. And that belief leads human beings to engage in behaviors that really screw everything up. Our brain is a neural network encased inside of tissue, an organ that we call the brain. But inside that, the tissue, basically all it does is it supports the neural network. So when you start looking at other things like plants, for instance, now, everybody, you know, Larry Niven, the science fiction writer, once said, you know, vegetarians aren't very smart. You know, how much intelligence does it take anyway to sneak up on a carrot? You know, which is an incredibly humorous image, you know, and it was fun in this context. But the problem is, that's what everybody really believes, you know. Carrots are stupid, plants are stupid, and we can do whatever we want with them. But the interesting thing is, plants have an extremely sophisticated neural network that has exactly the same shape as the neural network in our brains. If you took the neural network out of the brain organ and looked at it, it would look exactly like the root system of a plant. And in fact, that is what the brain of the plant is. It's that root system. plants use the soil of the earth instead of an organ like our brain to hold their neural network. And we have about 86 billion neurons, as I recall, in our neural network. Plants, in many instances, have nearly that many themselves. Okay, because the longer that the heat plant grows, the greater the neural network becomes. And in things like aspen root systems, the oldest one of which is 100,000 years old, the neural network is much, much greater than any single human being has ever possessed. So what you start to get is an intelligent system that possesses computing capacity and memory and interactive capacity far beyond anything a human being has ever had or will ever have. Then you start to look at other things, because the fascinating thing is, not only is everything intelligent in exactly the same way, everything has language. And I mean, everything has language, okay?
So one of the principles of this way of seeing and this way of being is that each species is a being. Each species is an entity with a life, a long, long life, and a persona.
There are all of these invisible things happening in the background all of the time that people just never notice. We're not taught about them. We're not taught to think about them. We're not taught to explore the world around us. And really, the biggest key to it is following the feeling sense, because when you do that, there's always something that emerges to the questing self. I mean, you'll be walking along one day and something will catch your attention. Every scientist that uses this approach, and of which there have been a number, they all say the same thing. They were just going along and something caught their attention, and they begin to pay attention to it, and it led on this most amazing journey to this place. If you begin following your feeling sense, there's some work that you're meant to do. There's a reason why you're here. The earth doesn't generate things for no reason at all. And the Greeks said, the Athenians said that, this neat thing, they said, there's a diamond, spelled kind of like daemon, or, you know, it was corrupted by the Christians to demon ridiculously. But they said at birth, this thing is put into the human being from outside, the daemon, and it will drive you to do the work you're meant to do in this lifetime. And that thing that's put into us is a thing that's put into us from the earth that drives us toward our particular ecological function. We have something to do here. So when you start following the feeling sense, you start finding your way to that thing. And everybody doing that, following their own inherent genius, you know, the kind of problems that we're facing now, what we really need is 7 billion people doing that. Because the human capacity to innovate, when they begin to follow that and open their sensory gating channels and to look deeper into the metaphysical background of the world, they come up with things that could never have been discovered any other way. There there are no experts out there that can solve the problem. There are no leaders or top-down people that can solve the problem. What we need is millions and millions of people following their own genius and coming up with solutions just as unique, just the way those gamers did. And I believe in the individual. I always have. And by that, we're in a time where many people are trained to believe in elites, to not follow their own genius. And, you know, I agree with Buckminster Fuller. He said in 1980, we are in danger of extinction as a species if every one of us does not now and henceforth follow their own self-intuited wisdom and never engage with the masses of others unless our self-intuited wisdom tells us that's where we must be. So that's kind of, so for me, it is easy to be optimistic because I believe in Gaia and I believe in the individual as an expression of Gaia. There were these scientists trying to figure out how a particular AIDS enzyme was folded, because if they could figure out the molecular structure, the way it was folded, then they could do something, you know, chemically to respond to it. They worked on it for 10 years and couldn't figure it out. So finally, in desperation, they got on the internet and they gave the problem to the gamer community on the internet, okay? 236,000 people began within a week to work on the problem. Guess how long it took them to solve the problem? 10 days.
The air, the fire, the water, return, 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 return. The earth, the air, the fire, the water, return, 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 return. Aye, 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 aye.
Part of my work is creating a map that's more accurate to the world. You know, we're all given a map of the world when we're born, and we're taught that the environment outside of us is pretty much a static background, you know, across which we move. We're intelligent actors. We have movement. Nothing else really does. Everything else is kind of stupid. And so we can do what we want with it. And that static background is always going to be there because it's always been there. It'll always be there. And then, you know, things will just go on. We can do whatever we want without thinking about it. And, you know, that's not really actually accurate. So, you know, I've been working to create a map that's more accurate, but, and that's a huge part of my work, but where the real juice comes for me is when you start getting into the personal relationship that human beings can have with the livingness of the world. And there's been a lot of people that have talked over the centuries about that. You know, if you get into some of the work of the Taoists, for instance, Lao Tzu said once, who would prefer the jangling of jade pendants if he has once heard stone growing in a mountain? And see, that begins to shift it into a whole other place. You begin to shift into a living experience of the living intelligence of the world. And there's a feeling dynamic to it, a feeling dimension to that. And that's where the really interesting stuff begins to happen. For one thing, there's tremendous amounts of joy that come into a human life when a human being starts rekindling the feeling sense, what James Hillman called the response of the heart to what's presented to the senses. And then you begin going into this different world and living there. And what happens then is that the sort of psychological frame that people have been trained in as a sort of the default place to live from, it just begins to disappear. I was reading a writer I really like this morning called Charles Bowden, and he said, in his experience, the only feeling that all people now have in common is depression. And it is probably the paramount feeling that all people in the United States possess. And because when you get into dissociated mentation, or that kind of reductive linearity that we mostly are trained in to think, to be in our brains most of the time, the automatic emotional emergence that happens after that is depression. This other thing, having the response of the heart to what's presented to the senses, engaging with the livingness of the world, everything really changes then. There's a much greater emotional and feeling range, and the whole body, the whole self comes alive in an entirely different way. What I've been encouraging in people for a long time is to trust their own inherent genius. The earth doesn't make mistakes. You know, if you want to find somebody that trusts the earth least, it's an environmentalist. They think they need to save the earth. The earth doesn't need saving. We're in trouble. The earth's not in trouble. The thing is, the earth's been dealing with much worse scenarios than the one we're in now for most of its history, and it knows what to do, and it figures out how to recover.
Come join the web of life again, wise, empowering, and beautiful. Come join the web of life, bring every which way. From the potter, right down the street, cities designed for walking our feet, wild oceans, rivers fresh and clean, work that feeds both bodies and dreams, squirty tomatoes fresh from the farm, natural medicines that do
the environmental catastrophe appears overwhelming. We are afraid we cannot think our way out of this mess. Of course not. We must feel our way out. We must learn to listen with our hearts and our hands. If you are not in your body, you are not making sense, literally. It is disembodied discourses that have got us into this crisis. We have worshipped the false gods of logic, progress, productivity, practicality. If destroying the earth for short-sighted economic profit is intelligent, reasonable, then please, God, make me a moron! This is a spiritual revolution about finding our ways back to the land, finding ways to be fed spiritually fed.
When sensory gating channels open, it allows for innovation in response to environmental input.